Music. Music is the language of the soul. Wow. Isn't music a powerful force, everybody?
Yes.
And I'm so glad that we have some people on our staff who love music, even though they all do different jobs. One of them is one of our teachers, Campbell. Campbell, thanks for coming today.
Well, thanks for having me, Doris. It's always great to be here.
And I like to play the trumpet with Campbell, and he's a good musician. And Campbell, do you think that music is important in your life?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Music changed my life, and it gave me a lot of confidence and helped me learn a lot of skills.
And yet Campbell's a good English teacher, and he's a good father of kids, but he also is a good musician. So, Campbell, thanks for joining us. And then we have Ben, and a lot of you have seen Ben in some of our music videos, and he's on some of our Let's Talk and Studio Classroom programs. Ben, you love music too, don't you?
I absolutely do. I love music, and music has also changed my life, and it's a great tool, and I love to use music in just about everywhere I am.
And Ben, you can tell you have that enthusiasm for us. And then we have one of our musicians who helps arrange a lot of music for Heavenly Melody and Studio Classroom. And he plays, how many instruments do you play, Angus?
Me? Several.
He lost count.
Not a lot.
Well, you play drums and keyboard.
And keyboard and
flute.
And flute, yeah. Don't forget the flute. I haven't heard your flute lately. But a lot of instruments, right? So thank you for coming to the program today.
Thank you, problem.
And Angus, where's your hometown?
I grew up in Jai.
You grew up in Jai, and music is important in your life, right?
Yes.
And where did you grow up, Campbell?
I grew up in New York.
In New York. And what about you, Ben?
Virginia.
And I grew up in Seattle, and we had music in our family and in our lives. And so it's going to be fun to discuss this article today, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely.
So where does the article start? Campbell, will you give us an introduction there?
Well, we are going to be talking about a special music program that is out in North Carolina, and we're going to start our article, and we're going to be hearing about two North Carolina middle school students and how they became involved in music. Now, our article is on page 10 of our magazine, so if you've got that, please do open up.
Good, and you can see the pictures here. I hope you all have the magazine. Some of you just listened to the program, but it's good to have the pictures and read the words along with us. In fact, we're going to read the first section of the lesson, so listen carefully, and if you have your magazines, read out loud with us. It's a good way to remember things. So let's do the first reading now.
Classical Music Pioneers. Two North Carolina middle school students are breaking new ground. Sometimes you grab a cello, only to realize it has grabbed you back. Sometimes you pick up a violin and find it has picked you up out of your old life and shown you a new one. Justice Crawford and Nathaniel Nitkin have begun to figure this out. They're sixth graders at Northwest School of the Arts, NWSA, the first young musicians to move to that public magnet school out of a long-running experiment sponsored by the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra, CSO, at Winterfield Elementary. For the past 6 years, the CSO has taught after-school classes to kids in grades 2 through 5 at the East Charlotte, North Carolina location, where more than three-quarters of the students come from low-income homes. Now, with a full-time CSO staffer assigned to oversee school programs, the symphony will crunch data to learn whether this training also does the non-musical things it's meant to do. Cut down on absences and behavioral infractions and improve study habits and grades.
Well, this is a very positive, exciting lesson, I think, don't you, Campbell?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. It's really exciting to see how music is making a positive impact on these kids' lives.
Well, that talks about this school. This is two schools, North Carolina middle school students there, And the two students, they're breaking new ground. They're doing something they have not done before. And we call that breaking new ground, doing something different, don't we?
That's right. And this idiom comes from the idea of breaking ground when you're building a new building, right?
Right.
So you're starting something new.
Mm-hmm. And the way this person is writing about this, they're trying to use different ways of using these words with double meanings. That's kind of funny the way they start the article, isn't it, Ben?
That's right. It's sometimes you grab a cello only to realize it has grabbed you back.
Now, how can a cello grab you back?
Well, not actually grabbing you, but in a way, it's attracting you.
Yeah, if that you is seeingly, huh?
Exactly, right. Seeingly.
Yeah, when we write, we usually like to use some metaphors and to make things a little more interesting. So
right.
It's combining the literal grabbing of the cello with the metaphorical grabbing you back.
And music kind of does grab you in a way anyway, because once you get into it, it just seems like you can't let go of it. It mm-hmm. becomes a part of your life, doesn't it?
Sometimes I'm walking down the street and I hear some music, and I've actually done this before in a store. I was buying some stuff and then I heard a great song. And then I made it look like I was, you know, looking at the stuff, but really I was just standing there to listen to the music.
And sometimes I start directing the music when I hear it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
Moving your hands.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, anyway, sometimes, you know, you would do that with like a violin, or you can pick it up and say, I'm going to learn this. But then it has picked you up and it's mm-hmm. made you somebody different. Instead of a person with not using any music, you become one who becomes part of the music scene, right?
Right, yeah. I love how it's described as picking you up out of your old life and showing you a new one. Because music does that, right? It makes your life very different.
That's true. Now, who are the two boys we're going to talk about?
Justice Crawford and Nathaniel Nitkin.
Okay, now there's a picture of them on here. And they're from this school. And they've just begun to understand this. When you figure something out, that means, oh, that's what it's all about. At first you don't know. You say, okay, I might learn an instrument. But now they're figuring out that it grabs them. So they're mm-hmm. learning something about it. Now, who are these people? They are actually sixth graders, aren't they?
Yes, right, at Northwest School of the Arts.
Northwest is not in Northwest of the United States. Northwest of what?
North Carolina.
Okay.
That's right. And something interesting about that is we started our article saying middle school, right? And they're sixth graders. And some people here in Asia might be confused because actually here sixth grade is elementary school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in the States, sixth grade is middle school.
Well, actually, it depends on where you go to school, too. If you have some people have grade school and high school.
Right.
And then some have grade school and then junior high school,
yes,
and senior high
exactly.
school. But anyway, they're in the sixth grade, and that's thing. Now, it says here that they are the first young musicians to move to this public magnet school. Now, I've never heard it described as a magnet school. What does that
right.
idea mean?
Well, a magnet school is a school that has a certain specialty, and the reason it's called a magnet school is because it draws students from all different areas. So it's not
I've
just
never heard that term used like
me
that
either.
Before. Have you?
No, I haven't.
But I guess the idea is that this is a school that attracts people.
Right.
It could be an art school,
yeah.
music school, athletic school, mm-hmm. something that has Iwidian Shi Ying Li that
right.
draws you like a magnet. But
again,
right?
like the words that we previously saw, grab and picking you up.
Right.
Using the metaphor.
Right. And they have a long-running experiment. And this experiment is how to help people from poor income homes
mm-hmm.
and with music. And who sponsored this? What does it say?
It's sponsored by the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra, and Charlotte is a city in North Carolina. And it sponsors this program at the Winterfield Elementary School.
So elementary means Charlotte,
that's right.
The school. And how long has this been going on now, it says?
For the past 6 years.
Mm-hmm. For 6 years, they've been teaching after-school classes. Now, in America, school often gets out about 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
not 5 or 6 like it does in Asia sometimes. So
right.
after school, there's sometimes sports activities, and there's other clubs you can go to. And so they have this after-school, could be 3 o'clock even. It isn't during your supper time or anything.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You've got time. And they have these after-school classes, and kids from grades 2 through 5. They start in pretty young at this school in East Charlotte, North Carolina location. And that's where a lot of the kids are what we could say poor. They come from low-income homes.
Right.
They don't have much money.
That's right.
Now, if you have money, you might go to ballet school and all kinds of lessons because your folks can afford it.
Right.
But if you don't have money, then you just can't take a part in those activities.
That's true.
So isn't this a good idea? Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to do that. Did you ever get any after-school classes in your grade schools when you were here?
I remember back in England, they had programs.
You were in England for a little while. How long were you in England?
I was there for 3 years.
And what grade was that?
I was in high school.
You're in high school?
Yeah.
And they had programs like that?
9 till 12, I think.
Okay.
They have free
music
lessons.
No wonder your English is so good.
Thank you.
But anyway, they had classes like that, right?
Yes.
And in America, they have after-school classes, too.
Right.
A lot of places they do.
Yeah. Because as Doris was saying, a lot of times when you want to take private lessons, it costs a lot of money. And so a lot of low-income families can't afford that. So this is a program that allows these low-income families and these children who normally wouldn't be able to afford these lessons to have music lessons and to learn and pick up some skills.
Well, now, where you lived in the States, Ben, did they have this? Because where I lived, they had this in regular school. You didn't even have to do it after school. They had band, and you could sign up for that during your school time.
Yes, we did. In our local high school, they had a band. They had a marching band. And you could rent the instruments from the school, and you could take it home and practice it. So we had I had many friends who were playing in the school band.
Did you ever play in a marching band?
I didn't, but I did play in a sitting down band.
Since I played the trumpet when I was in high school, in the grade school I played the saxophone. But when I played the trumpet in high school, they had a marching band. But we had to come to school early in the morning, like 7 o'clock, before everybody else came, and do our marching band.
That's right.
You know? So that was kind of extra time.
Yeah. To those who don't really know about the marching band is like a regular band. They play regular music,
but
they also march while they play, and they will march in interesting shapes or formations, sometimes making words, sometimes making shapes.
Yep.
So it's a cool thing to see, usually at sports games.
Right.
Well, maybe the high school football team is playing.
And in the middle of the game, they have a marching band. That's true. Or on holidays, we see marching bands for different occasions in America. And we have some, actually in Taiwan, they also have what they call funeral bands. When they have a funeral service and they have the band going, and the temples have bands, don't they?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different kinds of bands like that. But they started this for grades 2 through 5. Now, how old were you when you started to play music, Angus?
I was in kindergarten.
Kindergarten? Yes. Oh, and then you started before the second grade. Did you learn first?
Well, I think a lot of Asian kids started with piano.
Well, everybody should start with piano, I think. Why should you start with piano?
Piano has the low notes and the high notes, and you can play a lot of harmonies and melodies. All the things that you could imagine in a musical piece, you could play onto the piano.
Right. Yeah. Like on the piano, we have what we call the treble and the bass.
That's right.
And they're different notes, and you get to read both of them. So you could play other instruments if you can read it. If you just learn to play the treble clef, then you can't read the bass clef. It's different.
Yes.
So by learning the piano, you get a good fundamental start.
That's right.
And later on, you can play other instruments.
That's right.
I play about 5 instruments, too. Mm-hmm. But you start out with the piano. I was 9 years old. I was later than you were, Angus. When did you start to play?
I was 8.
You were 8.
Old.
Oh, my goodness. I was a late starter. I was 9. And how old were you?
I was 5.
5.
Oh, wow. Campbell. Oh, Campbell. What instrument did you start with?
Piano.
Piano.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you learn the piano at first?
That's right. Piano,
wow,
we have
something in common.
Yeah, so we've got them in common. See, that's one thing about musicians. They do have things in common. And I think if you want to start your child out, it's good to start out with something like the piano if you can, because that's a good foundation.
Right.
And even though you might not be good at the piano, all your life. You can sit down and play something, and it's comforting, mm-hmm. and it's fun. You can play with your friends. So it's always good to start with the piano.
Right.
Even if you later on want to play the violin or the tuba, start with the piano.
Yes.
So that was a good idea, wasn't it? Okay, so now they have, at this school, they started this from students from low-income families who mm-hmm. couldn't afford to buy instruments, mm-hmm. and with this full-time staffer from this Charlotte Symphony Orchestra, CSO, mm-hmm. they are assigned to look over. To oversee means to be in charge of the program, right? And what about this program?
Well, the symphony, again, the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra, they will crunch data to learn whether this training also does the non-musical things it's meant to do.
Now, okay, so it's supposed to do more than music.
That's right. So it's supposed to help cut down on absences and behavioral infractions.
The first one is to cut down on absences, right?
That's right. So
kids, they might not want to go to school, but they don't want to miss band, right?
Exactly.
So I have band today, so I want to go to school because of band. So then you don't say, well, I don't feel good, Mom. I want to stay home.
Right.
I have to go to band.
Exactly.
So it cut down on absences. Isn't that good?
Yes.
What was the second thing, Angus?
Behavioral
infractions. What is an infraction actually, Ben?
An infraction is if you do something wrong, if you break the law or mm-hmm. you disobey a teacher, it would be an infraction.
Now, how do you think that the band could help them with their behavioral things?
If you don't have a hobby or something to do after school, you might get into
mischief.
You might do bad things, or you might find friends who are also that have nothing to do. And it's also a good place to find good friends. A band is a place where you're doing something with each other. You're working together as a team, and you can often find good friends who will support you in the good things that you should do together. So I think it would be a lot harder to get into mischief to do.
Well, yeah, in fact, when I went to school, they had, if you were in the band or something, or you were in the school choir, and you were talking when the conductor was there, Doris, leave the room. You know, I mean, you whisper to your friend, we're having band practice now, and you have to leave. You don't get to sit there and not behave, not mm-hmm. pay attention. You have to learn to concentrate.
Right.
Were
yeah.
they pretty strict with you?
Discipline,
too?
Yeah, for sure. And this, I mean, especially you were talking about the marching band. You know, when you're in the
yeah.
marching band, you can't go off on your own. You have to stick with the band. You
but
know,
even
you
in the school choir, if you weren't paying attention and they were talking and you talk to your friend, they'd say, if you want to talk, then just don't talk.
Right.
And then you might get kicked out of the choir
exactly.
and then you lose it. Wow, yeah. you're afraid. You want to stay part of the group, so you behave. Isn't that good for you, though, when you're
kids?
That is.
Kids need discipline.
That. Yeah. What else does it do? Helps you improve what?
Study habits and grades.
Because if you don't keep up your grades, you can't stay in the choir and the band.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it teaches you discipline. When you go home, you have to practice your instrument, and that will teach you discipline that could help you in your studies for other subjects as well.
So that's really good. These are all good things. All you parents listening, get your kids enrolled right away, soon. Let's read the second paragraph of today's lesson.
Offering the students more. As Nathaniel adds technical skills, he's showing more confidence all around, says Neil Nitkin, Nathaniel's dad. He's better able to concentrate on what's in front of him, both the musical and non-musical stuff. It makes a big difference. That's the kind of talk Courtney Hollenbach has hoped to hear since she founded her first music program at Winterfield in 2007. She has taught there for 11 years. She was using a violin in second grade science class to illustrate concepts of pitch and volume when a student said, "It sounds like angels." That inspired her to start the rudiments of an orchestra. By the 2009-10 school year, she had personally bought 30 violins for beginners and asked the symphony for help. "I wanted students to have an experience outside of just coming here and going home," she recalls.
Well, Campbell, what do you think of this part?
Well, I think it's pretty great what's going on with these kids. And we start off this section hearing from Nathaniel's dad, Neil Nitkin. And he says that as Nathaniel adds technical skills, he's showing more confidence all around.
Do you think that that is a positive thing that music does? It makes you more confident.
Absolutely. If you have a skill that you can do, you feel better about yourself, and you can probably have more friends that share a common hobby. And I found that when I learned my musical instruments, I had a confidence in myself that I didn't have to share with everyone. Oh, I can play this, I can play that. But inside of me, I felt a little bit more confident about what I could do about myself.
Well, I think you do learn to concentrate a little bit more. And instead of just looking at the books and the bookwork, you learn how to do something. Like if you're learning a sport, you do the same thing. When you're at school and you play baseball, you learn how to concentrate to be a pitcher and all that. Well, music, it's the same thing, don't you think, Angus?
Yes, it does. It did teach me a lot.
Mm-hmm. You feel like you, even things that are non-musical, they say stuff, non-musical things, it does make a big difference. And so that's the kind of talk that this Courtney Hollenbach hoped to hear. She's a lady, and what did she do?
Well, she was the one that founded the first music program.
Music Magic, okay.
Music is magic. It is. So the first music program at Winterfield in 2007.
2007, that's late. Oh, mine was a long time ago. So they've had these in schools all across America, but some schools have more than others. And in Taiwan, do they have many schools for kids that can learn music when they're in grade school?
Mainly in the cities.
In the big cities, yes. Right. Not the countryside so much.
Not as much, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, she had been teaching there for 11 years. And what instrument was she playing?
She was using the violin. And she was teaching the kids how to play the violin.
But she was teaching them in her second grade science class.
Yeah.
What has that got to do with music?
Huh. Well, that's really interesting. It wasn't a music class. It was a science class. So she was trying to teach her students the ideas of pitch and volume. So she was trying to teach them about sounds.
I like that kind of a teacher. She used her imagination and uses real things to teach kids, not just the books. Don't you think so?
Yes.
That was very smart of her to do that. They wanted to learn all these different things about sound, and a violin certainly can teach you about pitch. It has very high notes and low notes and chords, and you could learn a lot from a violin, couldn't you? That was very smart of her. And what did the kids feel about it? What did the students say?
Said it sounded like an angel. You
mean? Right. Sounds like an angel, that beautiful violin, that she was just playing that, and she really got the students interested in the music part, not just the science part.
That's right.
So how did that affect her life then, Ben?
Well, she was inspired by that comment, and she thought, hey, why don't I try to start a really simple orchestra? And the word they use here is the rudiments of an orchestra. It basically just means a very simple, basic orchestra.
Right. So she thought, well, that's good. I'll teach them then. And then what happened after that, Campbell?
Well, by 2009-2010 school year, she had personally bought 30 violins for beginners and asked the symphony for help.
Because remember, these kids didn't have a lot of extra money for that, right?
So she had about a out from her pocket.
Haven't you done that for your students?
I haven't. I guess I should.
Yeah, you know. Well, I remember when I would teach kids, when I was living over in Hualien, and some of the kids were the tribe's kids, and they didn't have any money, and I got discounts from the people in the States that made the trumpets, and I would buy trumpets for them, and you know, and they didn't have the money to pay for it. So you say, oh, I'll just use my own money to give it to them, because they can't afford it.
Yes.
But they had to play it. And if they wouldn't play it, I wasn't going to teach them. You know, if you want to learn, if you stop practicing, then you can't have an instrument. Mm. So that was kind of a good way to start. But she began, she bought 30, you know, not all at one time, I guess. But why did she do that?
Well, she wanted the students to have a better experience outside before coming home. And I really agree with this logic. I feel that coming home as a kid, it's very difficult to know what I should do. As a kid, there's a lot of influences in my life, and especially nowadays, a lot of influences from the internet, from the computer, and so a lot of my friends and also myself, often I get distracted by mm-hmm. the computer, but having something after school to play, like a band to play with or a musical instrument to practice, I think it's a brilliant idea.
And yeah, and you didn't start when you were five like Angus did. But Angus, did that make any difference in your life then when you started the music or not?
Yes, it has definitely changed my habit at home. Like you must dedicate an hour or two to practice.
Right. Yeah, and it just kind of, instead, you don't just do it at work. In fact, even at Studio Classroom, a lot of the teachers like music, and Angus, you guys get together and a jam session after office, don't you?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
You can hear us?
Well, I know. Gabe likes to play the drums, you know, and you play a lot of instruments.
Yeah. In fact, yesterday we were jamming until... Oh, pretty late.
Is that right? Were you with them, Angus?
I showed up a little bit, yes.
You didn't invite Campbell and me to come play.
Oh.
But it's a fun thing to do, and it's always a part of your life, whether you're a kid or you're in business, even in a business company to do
right.
that.
I love music a lot because words, I often run out of words.
Right.
I don't really know what to say.
It's the language of the soul, see?
Well, actually, I don't run out of words, but I run out of meaningful words. I start saying stupid words.
Yeah.
But then eventually...
put it in music and make
it... Yeah, put it in music. I can play music for a long time, and I don't feel like I've run out of things
we'll
to say.
We'll check you out on YouTube. I know you're on there now. Okay. Okay, Ben, well, our time's up for today, but let's come back tomorrow and talk about how this can change a lot of things and why it matters. So will you all be here with me tomorrow?
Absolutely. Oh,
good. We'll see you then, and go and get started on your music today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get your kids into it. Okay. Bye for now.
Bye.